Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
You know, usually mums get the day off on Mother's Day, right? That's what the goal is to get the day off. Well, we've always had this debate in our house, is it mom's day off or mom's day to shine and work harder? So you can see how it works out in our house. But, you know, I have the privilege of being a daughter, a sister, an auntie, a wife, a mom of four grown children, and they all survived, and a nan to seven, or a grandmother to seven. And you know, that is such a privilege. So it's a privilege for me to be up here on this special day as we celebrate womanhood and the joys that it is to be a mom. You know, this week, I wanted to spend some time with our youngest daughter. So I thought, well, what can we do? I'm getting ready to go to the States to visit my mom in just a couple of days. I fly out on Tuesday. So we worked in a lunch and a pedicure. And in order to do this, I had to rope your senior pastor, Pastor Stan, into babysitting a three-year-old named Clem, almost three-year-old named Clementine. You know, so we wanted to go out for that one-on-one mother time, and it's just nice sometimes to be able to pamper yourself a little bit, especially when you've been chasing after a toddler for so long. And you know, she needed to do a little bit of Mother's Day shopping, my daughter, and so I was helping her find something very specific that she was looking for, and so I was wandering around some of the sections in our local Big W, and I stumbled across this section, their seasonal section, and I didn't realize that's what I was looking at first, but I thought, this is interesting. It was a weird mix of blankets and pillows, fleeceware, stationery, slippers, pajamas, woolly stuff, and chocolate. And I'm thinking, what is all this stuff here for? Who set this up? And then the penny dropped, and I realized, this is what corporate Australia thinks that moms want, comfort and rest, right? So can I get an amen, moms? Is that what we want, comfort and rest, a little bit of a break? You know, but the reality is for us on Tuesday, we were in a mad rush we got a late start. We were in a mad rush and we had to cram everything in before the school pickup, which is relentless. So we ended up having to abandon the car at the shops, walk all the way to the school next door to the church here, Heathdale, and then back with a grade one in tow so we could get the car. But of course we had to go through the plaza and we had to get that after school treat. And then we had to get groceries, as moms have to get groceries. And then we got in the car and fought the traffic all the way back to Wyndham Vale to rescue my poor husband, who was like, you were gone forever. We were gone for 4 hours. But it felt like forever to Stan. He did not feel that time was short at all. He didn't feel that at all. He thought it was incredibly long. Well, imagine that mom that gets out of bed at 6:30 in the morning and doesn't stop until far late into the night. It is a long day indeed. It doesn't feel short. But welcome to motherhood. It's been something that I've been observing, experiencing personally, and speaking with lots of moms at different stages in life throughout the many years. You know, recently I was speaking to a brand new first-time mom. Her baby was born within this year. And I was asking her, how would you describe it? How have you found this change in your life and stuff like that? And she said this to me. She said, nothing about your life is your own anymore. Your schedule, even your body, especially your body, it is taken over by this totally other totally dependent person. And men need to understand how hard that is. You know, when I asked her, what is the hardest part? Her response was, all of it. All of it. She's 4 months in. You know, her word to describe being a mom was this, sacrifice. And truly, motherhood is that. It is sacrifice. You know, another young mom of two described motherhood to me as, it's constant. It just doesn't stop. I can't even go to the toilet with the door closed. And you know, I know that's a season. And she said, and I said, I asked her, I said, well, would you want it to go away, be different? And she's, well, I wouldn't want him to die, but I would like a moment to myself. That's motherhood. And you know, guys, you're thinking, you know, how can I apply this to my life? Be aware and know that and look after your wife as she raises your children. You know, time is short, but it doesn't always feel that way. You know, I remember being a young mom and facing those challenges. I thought sometimes that would never end. I thought I would never stop hearing, Mom, come do this, that, or the other, okay? Fill in the blank. You know, and the more kids you have and the further apart they're spaced, the longer this process lasts. You know, I remember one of my OB doctors in my fourth pregnancy, he says, oh, I was very, very pregnant at the time. And he says, I'm sure you'll be glad when this is over. And I said, oh, I've learned this is the easy part. Carrying them is the easy part. You know, the reality of it is motherhood is one of those things that never ends once you enter it. I mean, I do know that I've got many friends and family members that have lost children, and that is something that is never supposed to happen to a mom, but it does happen. But even in that, motherhood never ends. No matter how old you get, or how old those kids get, you still worry about them. And I know that's not very spiritual and stuff, but the reality is you still worry about them. I was talking to my daughter that just gave birth recently, and she says, oh, I just worry about him all the time. Is he getting enough to eat? It's hard to tell. Is he going to keep breathing through the night? And just worry after worry after worry. And I said, you know what? I still worry about all of you kids, my kids. I worry about you. Are you eating right? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you working too hard? And I said, even your Grammy still worries about her kids. And you know, we are in our 50s and 60s, and she still worries about us. It's part of the package. You know, motherhood brings this hurry. You can go back on hurry, worry, and a flurry of activities. You mothers know this already. It brings basketball and netball and music lessons and dance and gymnastics and birthday parties and medical appointments, church and school events, first jobs and learning to drive, uni and apprenticeships, dating, weddings, and maybe grandchildren. It is a full and busy career. You know, and that's on top of the everyday stuff, the dirty nappies and potty training, mealtime, bath time, and bedtime and babysitting for you nans, books to read, bad dreams and 2 a.m. feeds, messy rooms and mounds of washing, skin needs, broken hearts and bruised egos. And this all gets balanced with being in the workforce as well. It's a heavy load for sure, and we sometimes worry that we are not up to this, to have the strength to do it all. In fact, you know, there was a very famous tennis star a few years ago who had a child, and she was at the top of the league globally. And she had this to say. She said that, you know, I realize that no matter how good of a tennis player I am, and trying to be a mom too, you can't do it all. And she gave up her career in tennis so she could raise her child. You know, when we have that child, we have no idea what the future holds for them or for us. They don't come with instructions. I mean, we have the Word of God, which is wonderful, but each one is different, and we have to know how to apply the Word of God to their life. And they don't come with guarantees, but we do still have dreams and hopes and aspirations for them, and we project our own ambition onto them often. And I'm not sure, though, that we expect the pain, at least in those early days that go along with it. You know, sometimes when that diagnosis comes that you weren't expecting, or the disappointment when their lives fall apart, or the disaster that may come your way that you didn't see coming. You know, it's a big risk to bring someone into this world. You know, motherhood requires great risk, but it also brings great reward. Pastor Stan's already said for us what the Bible said, and I'll repeat it here for you. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. You know, while not everyone gets to experience the rewards and challenges of motherhood. The fact that you are here today with your wits about you, I presume, is a testament to a woman in your background that decided, when she found out that you were coming, decided to keep you and to bring you into this world and to give you life and to look after you. And I think most of you have both of your eyes, which means that you learn to not run with scissors. I think that's one of those things moms teach us. You know, even if she wasn't great, she did that for you. You know, as I was thinking about a Bible example of moms, there's the Bible's replete with a lot of different mom stories and stuff like that. I'm thinking, this was a free hit. We're off series right now because we've been looking at Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount. But, you know, I was thinking, what mom? You know, a lot of times Mother's Day, everybody goes to Proverbs 31, the perfect woman. And I thought, I'm not going to do that because I know what a big list of wow that is. And I didn't want to put that burden on anyone. But as I was thinking, which mom will I choose? Will I choose the ones that struggled to find, to be pregnant, the ones that dedicated their children at the temple, the one that, you know, her one son killed her other son? And I thought, no, I don't want to focus on those. As I was reflecting on the challenges of motherhood throughout a woman's life, my heart landed on one very special mom, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, often this is the Mary we think of. We think of Christmas Mary, don't we? That's where we normally see Mary. You know, and I love this picture because despite the fact that her birth plan did not go as planned, I'm quite certain, because she had to ride 9 months pregnant on the back of a donkey, can't even imagine. It was her first baby, and he was born in a smelly, dirty, germ-infested shed or stable. And, you know, and I love this picture because she's already up about, she's smiling, and she even, look, ladies, she even has a belt around her post-pregnancy waist already. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, we wish. So often we forget that the people in the pages of Scripture were real people. They were people. They were ordinary just like us. They faced the same challenges, but God was working out something that He has shared with us through His pages of Scripture in their lives. Now, Mary was special. I'm not saying she wasn't special, but she was also ordinary. You know, if we look back at just a highlight reel, I've spent the last week or two looking at just the highlight reel and thinking about her highlight reel. Luke's gospel gives us a little bit of a look into who she was. So in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, now for those that aren't Bible scholars, Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. She was an elderly lady that got pregnant very late in life after trying her whole life, and she was able to get pregnant. And that's who Elizabeth is. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Now, what we learn from this is that Mary was a country girl from a small town. And Nazareth was in a poor district, so she didn't come from, they estimate that through archaeology, about 400 people, that's how big the town was. And it was kind of like on the wrong side of the tracks. Think of it as a western suburbs girl. Not that there's anything wrong with that, just in case you're wondering. But, you know, scholars estimated her age to be between 14 and 17. Now, they look at that historically. We don't have a record of that, but historically speaking, girls would typically be engaged or promised for marriage at this stage between 14 and 17 to someone from their ancestral tribe, so someone else from the tribe of King David. Now, we really don't know anything about her parents at all or her family of origin. Did she have siblings? We don't know. Or her parents still living? We don't know. And, you know, but we do know that engagements would last for 12 months in Jewish tradition because they wanted to make sure that there was purity involved, if you know what I mean, before the marriage was consummated. Now, most of you will be familiar with the Christmas story. And yes, I know it's not Christmas. It's Mother's Day. Come on. But let me summarize it for you. For those that haven't grown up in church, God chose Mary. She was noted to be highly favored among women. But, you know, we don't know why. Why was she special? We don't know. She is told that she will conceive and give birth to a son. So she didn't have that early sonogram and gender reveal. It was revealed to her by an angel, a son, and his name was going to be Jesus. And her response to this this information was, how? She knew how it worked, and she knew that she that wasn't her story. So that was her question. How is that going to be? It will be a miracle. It was a miracle of God fulfilling his purpose and promise to his people for all generations. That's including you and me. But I want you to put yourself in Mary's sandals for just a moment. If you're like me, and I'm a little bit of a type A personality, I want to feel like I have things under control. I don't like things to disrupt my carefully manufactured plans. And if I were Mary, my biggest fear would be, oh my goodness, what are people going to think? This was unplanned, an unplanned pregnancy. And it helps us, though, if we remember the truth about it, that unplanned events, whatever they are, fulfill God's purpose. And we know that's true of Mary's life, but when that happens to us, we don't always feel that way, do we? You know, I'm wondering, what unexpected event is happening in your life right now? Is it causing you fear or pain? As you struggle, are you struggling to believe that God could be good when he's letting this burden, laying this burden on your shoulders, whatever it is? Or if he's even there and knows what you're going through, why would he give this to me? It's so heavy. Now, we can learn something from Mary's response. I love this. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything be as you said about me. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Once again, for those of you that aren't churchies, angels are messengers of the Lord. That's what scripture tells us. And so he brought this message to her, and her response was, I'm God's servant. You know, from this we can learn a good response to the unexpected things in our life. God wants us to be humbly trust and accept his plan for our life. It's not always going to include what you think it should, and it's going to include some things you wish it wouldn't, but we have to humbly accept and trust him. You know, because it's so important, because things rarely go perfectly in this world. Our plans fall apart. And when you understand that God loves you, he loves you, and he has a plan and a purpose that he's working out for your good, the Bible tells us, we can rest in that and find rest for our very soul. He is good, and we've already sung about that today. Whether you're single, married, male, female, young, old, this applies to you. It includes that time of trusting him for our life and everything that comes into it, and for those we love, especially our children and our grandchildren. We don't have to worry. We do. We still will, but we can keep putting it back into his hands. You know, Mary had a tough road ahead of her. I can't even begin to imagine, but I wanted to highlight that for you. She and Joseph practiced Jewish tradition, which was to dedicate their baby at 40 weeks with a son, 40 days old. He was 40 days. They took him to the temple and presented him there. That would make him about 6 weeks. And while they were there doing that, we learned that there was a prophet of God named Simeon that was there. God had directed him there, and he confirmed the fact that this baby was truly the Messiah God had promised as a prophet of God. And he said this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. He's saying this to this new mom. This is what he said to her. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. You know, I'm sure she must have wondered what exactly that meant. If somebody told me a sword is going to pierce my soul as I'm presenting my child to the Lord, I would be a little bit fearful. She was a first-time mom, and she knew something special had happened to her. But she didn't have any idea of what was coming. None of us do when they lay that baby in our arms, do we? We don't have a clue. If we did, we might have said, oh, nope, I'm not going to go there. If we make it through pregnancy and delivery safely, which isn't a guarantee, we have no guarantees of God's plan for us or that child. Oh, the lessons we learn. Motherhood brings with it both joy and sorrow, and that lasts a lifetime, I hate to tell you. I used to tell young moms, I taught young moms in a Bible study, and they, most of them were moms of toddlers, and I was raising teenagers at the time, and I would tell them, this is the easy part, it gets harder, which was the last thing those young moms needed to hear. It's hard. I can tell you, my kids are grown, and I have grandchildren, and it's still hard. I got up here this morning with a heart that's breaking. I can tell you that as a mom. It just keeps coming. It's a hard journey, but it's worth it. You know, we read that Mary and Joseph took baby Jesus back home to Nazareth after they left the temple where he grew up. It says he grew up healthy and strong. Now, we know from the biblical narrative a few other things. They had to flee to Egypt, so this young family had to move quickly to Egypt to escape death. There were death threats against children at the time. And they were there for, depends on which scholars you look at, 2 to 4 years is the rough estimate of how long they lived in Egypt before they were able to come back to their home country. You know, we know that they were faithful in raising their children according to God's instructions. The dedication is evidence of that, but we see some other things. We see this here. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12, they attended the festival as usual. So this was something they regularly did. They had their children going to the temple. And I do say children. We know they had that Mary had a big family of at least 7 children. Did you know that? We can see that. Matthew gives us a little clue of that. We have people talking about Jesus. You know, he's just the carpenter's son. And we know Mary, his mother, and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and all his sisters live right here among us. So he has at least 2 sisters. He may have had more. So this is a big family Mary was raising. You know, it could explain one of the accounts that we have of him being lost on one of those Passover festival trips. You know, it must have been a very stressful trip because they had gone for Passover, they were traveling back as a big group of people, and all of a sudden they realized that one of them is missing, and that one was Jesus, and they went all the way back to Jerusalem searching for him for 3 whole days before they finally found him. Can you imagine missing your child for 3 days? And we can see her frustration, her ordinariness as a mom in this. She confronts him once they found her 12-year-old son. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere. Oh, they probably wanted to wring his neck. His response was this, but why did you need to search? He asked, didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? But they didn't understand what he meant. They had their hands full. They didn't always understand. You know, have you ever lost one of your kids? I'm sure you have, because kids are sneaky and they get out of your sight and disappear in the shops and other places. I was sitting in my office in the last few weeks, and I had a little visitor come through the doors after school, and he likes to come in and get into my lolly jar on my desk, and we have a little chat, and it's a good time and stuff like that. And it was all good and fine until about 10 minutes later, Mom comes in with a panicked and relieved look on her face when she found her son in my office, and he was just fine. But he had slipped from her and disappeared without letting her know where he was going. We have those terrifying moments. And you know, maybe you're like Mary, you're in that adolescent stage or even a young adult stage of raising children, and you have no idea what they're on about. They didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. Mary had those moments too. Isn't it good to know that we can find ourselves in the pages of Scripture right along with the historical greats that have been recorded for us? You know, from this, we realize that raising children is challenging even if they're perfect. Jesus was the perfect kid, but he still brought challenges of parenting to them. We know Jesus returned with his parents and was obedient to them, and that this is what we know about Mary. His mother stored all these things in her heart as Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and people. Sometimes we have to do that as moms. We have to keep things locked up in our heart. We don't see much more about this family. So this is the lead up. We don't see much more about this family because our focus will shift until we see them many years later, at least a few years later, at a wedding feast. I should have done the math. I'm not good on my feet with math, but it was quite a few years later. And we learn that at this wedding feast, we know that Jesus was there with his disciples. He had just called them together within the few days leading up to this wedding. Mary and Jesus' siblings and stuff were there, so it must have been a family, friends of a family. We knew they ran out of wine, and Mary went to her son and said, "Can you do something about this, son?" This was his first miracle. He pushed back at her a little bit, and he said, "You know, it's not my time yet," but he still did it for his mom. His earthly ministry, as it began, was distancing him from his mom, and her firstborn child was coming into his own. He was growing. She had to learn in this process to let go so her son could fulfill what he had come to do. He had to be about his heavenly father's business. All of us as moms, we can take this away from Mary. We must let go so that they can grow. You know, we're meant to be mothers, not smothers, okay? When we smother, we do actually has an opposite effect. As a mom, I wonder how Mary felt as she watched that son of hers growing a crowd of followers. You know, or when she heard of his spreading fame, because his fame went abroad, so she would have heard of that as his mom. People were flocking to her son, who is nearly 30 now, around 30. You know, I'm sure she wondered about the notoriety that he was having. He continued to grow this notoriety through 3 years of ministry. Some loved him and were beloved, devoted to him, and some hated him. They absolutely hated him and wanted him dead. I'm sure she wondered about things people said about him because she probably heard him too. He's a friend of sinners, or he's breaking all the rules, or he's causing such a stir. Like, oh, my son. We can safely assume she didn't understand how life would come to an end in such a cruel way. Not even his closest disciples grasped that. You know, as a mom, I can't imagine how Mary felt seeing her child misunderstood, falsely accused, bullied, beaten, and killed right before her very eyes. There is no greater tragedy for a mom than to have to bury a child. She didn't have to bury him, but she saw his death. You know, we as moms hurt when our children hurt, don't we? Yet despite her own pain, Mary was standing there in her son's most painful moment, standing there. "I'm here for you, son. I'm here." She couldn't do anything about it, but she could be there. You know, I wonder if at that moment, as she looked at him on that cross, if she remembered Simeon's words, "A very sword will pierce your very soul." Mother's Day's not supposed to be a downer, is it? This story has a great ending. Don't you love happy endings? You know, Jesus gave his mom the best gift ever. It was one that was given to all humanity. Hope of salvation. Death was defeated. The grave was empty. Her son resurrected, leaving behind that empty tomb. He wasn't just her son. He was her savior. He can be your savior. While the Bible doesn't record for us that Mary got to see Jesus after he was raised from the dead, we don't know if she did or not. But we do know that she was gathered with a group of his followers after all of that happened. And they were in an upper room and they were praying when the Holy Spirit was poured out, just as her son had promised he would be. She had fulfilled her calling, and that's the last we hear of her. You know, she would have been about 50, give or take, when all of this happened. You know, this is my challenge to you. Moms, none of us will ever be asked to walk the motherhood road that Mary walked. Each of our journeys are unique, and they have their own unique joys and challenges. Please don't compare yourself to others. You know, we've been talking about Mary, but don't compare yourself to others. I feel a real burden from moms in this day and age. There's so much information out there on the internet that just puts a lot of burdens on you. God gave you your kid to you because he knows you have what you need to raise that child. You know, nobody else can do your job as a mom. And it's the most important thing that you will ever do. And never think or say to anyone that asks you, what do? Say, oh, I'm just a mom. There is no just a mom. What you do is irreplaceable. The responsibility to raise and nurture the next generation, especially in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, is a high calling indeed. Savor it. That's my advice to you. Savor it. Because time is short and it passes quickly, more quickly than you can imagine. The older you get, the faster it goes. Put the screen away and pay attention. They want your attention more than anything else. It'll be gone before you know it. And we never, never know how long we have. It's okay to have hard days and hard seasons, so I want to let you off the hook with that. Even when they're grown, you'll still have hard days and hard seasons. Time is short, even when it doesn't feel like it. Be kind to yourself and trust God to work it all out and give you the strength and the wisdom to persevere. Keep praying, trusting, and take care of yourself. That's important. You need to take care of yourself. You know, I ran across this poem. It's a prayer for the journey, and it says this. Oh, Lord, do not give me tasks equal to my powers, but give me powers equal to my tasks. For I want to be stretched by things too great for me. I want to grow through the greatness of my task, but I shall need some help for the growing. God is there to help you. Can I just pray for our moms now? Father God, we want to lift up our mothers. We want to thank you for Mary's story. Father, we thank you that she was just ordinary, but special all the same. And Father, I know that when you trust us with raising another person and bringing another person to this world, it is a big job indeed. And Father, I just pray for those that are struggling under that burden that you would just let them find strength and rest and peace in you. And for those that are around them and love them, help them be sensitive to their needs. Father, we just pray that you would make us your people who glorify you in this place and beyond this place. We give you all the glory and praise and honor. Amen.